One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
There are certain stories that slip under your skin before you even realize they've taken hold. They start with something small, a fleeting shadow, a voice calling your name when no one's there, a face in a photograph that shouldn't exist. And before you know it, you're staring into a mirror, asking yourself a question no one should ever have to ask. Am I the one haunting myself? Tonight's story is exactly that, a slow unraveling of reality, memory, and fear. It's the story of a woman whose life was shadowed by a ghost. In a blue dress, a ghost that followed her through first loves, heartbreak, the birth of her children, and even the death of her own father. But this ghost wasn't a stranger. It was her. What you're about to hear isn't a Hollywood ghost story with rattling chains and slamming doors. This is the kind of haunting that works its way into the quiet spaces of a life. The parts no one sees. The fears we bury deep until they grow so strong they step out into the open and look us right in the eye. Is this a ghost, a fractured memory, or something far worse? Let's get to the letter. They write, "Hey, Tony, I've spent years wondering if I'd ever write this down. To be honest, putting it into words feels dangerous, like it might make everything real again. But I can't shake the feeling that if I don't tell someone, this thing I've been living with will swallow me whole. So here I am. I'm hoping you'll understand or at least believe me enough to hear me out. This started when I was 17. Back then, I was just a high school senior in Barkley Falls, a nowhere kind of town with not much to do besides drive around or sneak into places we shouldn't be. That's how we ended up at the Harrington Theater. Everyone in town knew the stories. Some girl went missing there in the 50s. Her parents swore she was swallowed up by the stage itself. It was the kind of local ghost story kids used to scare each other at sleepovers. I didn't really believe it, not then. It was Friday the 13th, and my boyfriend Jake thought it would be hilarious to check it out. We rounded up a few friends, packed some candles and a blanket because, well, you know, teenagers. But when we got there, our friends chickened out almost immediately. They stood in the parking lot for maybe 5 minutes before peeling out, leaving just me and Jake standing in front of those heavy theater doors. I don't know what I expected, but I remember being surprised they weren't locked. We walked right in. No hesitation. No creaking hinges like in horror movies, just open. The air inside hit me like a wave, cold and damp, like someone had been breathing into that space for 100 years and we were inhaling whatever they left behind. Jake didn't notice anything weird, of course. He just laughed and pulled me toward the stage like this was all some game. But with every step I took, I felt more like I was being led somewhere instead of exploring. I should have turned around. I should have trusted the goosebumps crawling up my arms. But I didn't. We set up near the center aisle, lighting candles to push back the dark. At first, it was just quiet. Too quiet. Not even that kind of silence where your ears ring. It was a silence that felt held, like the whole building was holding its breath. Then the door behind us, the one we'd left wide open, started to close. I told myself it was the draft. The same way I told myself the candles blowing out was just the air moving. But I didn't believe it, not really. Especially when I heard the footsteps. They were slow, like someone wearing heavy shoes was walking across the stage. When I turned my head to look, I saw them, figures moving behind the curtain. Not solid, not exactly see-through either. They shifted, like shadows pretending to be people. They moved like they were rehearsing something they'd done 1,000 times, only there was no sound. No voices. Just motion. That's when I heard my name. Mia! It came from everywhere and nowhere at the same time, and before I could react, something hit me on the head, hard enough to drop me cold. When I came to, I was sitting in Jake's car, parked halfway down the street. My head was pounding, and Jake was slumped next to me, fast asleep. I shook him awake and asked what happened, but he didn't know either. He kept saying, "How did you get me out? I'm way too heavy for you to drag." I didn't have an answer. We broke up not long after that. Not because of the theater, just life, college, distance, all the usual things. I might have written that night off as some weird teenage memory if that had been the end of it. But it wasn't. Years passed. I got married to a man named Tyler, and we had a big wedding at this fancy hotel. It was the happiest day of my life, or at least it should have been. But during the reception, I saw something that made my stomach drop. I was standing near the cake table when I noticed a little girl underneath it, pressed up against the glass top, staring up at the cake with these wide, curious eyes. Her dress was pale blue and her blonde hair was a tangled mess like she'd been playing outside for hours. I actually smiled at her, thinking she was someone's niece or cousin. But when I turned to grab Tyler and tell him how cute she was gone. Just vanished. I asked around, but no one knew who I was talking about. It was just a fleeting, weird moment, easy enough to dismiss until she showed up again. It became a pattern, family events, holidays, even random afternoons at the grocery store. I'd glimpse her, always, just for a second. Sometimes she was clearer, sometimes more like a reflection in glass that disappeared if I blinked. But always the same, blue dress, messy hair, silent stare. I saw her again at my cousin's wedding, standing in the back corner of the reception hall. By the time I could point her out to anyone, she was gone. Made me feel insane. Like I was walking around with a crack in my reality, and this child kept slipping through. The worst came at my father's funeral. My brother put together this slideshow of family photos, and as we all sat in that darkened room, watching years flash by, she was suddenly there, in a photo I had never seen. She was standing beside my father, kissing him on the cheek, both of them smiling at the camera like it was completely normal. And that's when it hit me. The way she smiled, the way she stood, the shape of her face, she wasn't just some random little girl, she was me. There's no way to explain what it feels like to realize the ghost that's been following you is yourself. Not just a reflection or some metaphor for regret, but an actual physical presence walking in places you once stood. Wearing clothes you barely remember, looking at the world through eyes you forgot you had. I try to write it off as grief messing with my head. After all, funerals make you see things. But deep down I knew that was a lie. Because the next time I saw her wasn't at a funeral or wedding. It was in a hospital room. My own delivery room. When I gave birth to my first daughter, Emma, she was there. Standing in the corner, hands clasped in front of her like she was waiting to be introduced. Her dress was brighter that day, and her hair didn't look quite so tangled. I remember thinking, "She's happy Emma's here." It felt almost comforting. But when Emma's twin brother, Alex, was born, her expression changed. I saw her little hands curl into fists, her mouth twisted into something that wasn't quite a scowl but wasn't far off either. It was anger, pure and simple, the kind of territorial, bone-deep hatred only a child can feel when they believe someone has taken something that belonged only to them. Then she was gone, but the feeling stayed. After that, it was Alex who seemed to attract the worst of it. The crying fits that never made sense, the bruises he'd wake up with that didn't match his bedding, the toys that went missing only to turn up broken in strange places. Emma and her younger sister Lila always seemed fine. They even laughed sometimes at things I couldn't hear, but Alex was different. He knew something was wrong. One afternoon, I heard the bus drop the kids off, and when Emma and Lila came through the door, Alex wasn't with them. I asked where he was, and they just shrugged like it was no big deal. When I looked outside, he was kneeling in the driveway, tears streaming down his face. His glasses were shattered at his feet. When I ran to him, he told me the wind had thrown a rock at his face, but there was no wind, not even a breeze. I glanced back at the house, and there she was, the girl in the blue dress, standing at the upstairs window, watching. The smile she gave me was the same one I used to practice in the mirror when I was 7 years old, the smile I gave to people I didn't trust. I begged my husband, Tyler, to talk about it, to admit something weird was happening. But he shut me down every time, said it was stress, imagination, postpartum fog, you name it. Eventually, the silence between us grew so thick it was easier to leave than to stay. So I did, and the girl in the blue dress came with me. The final straw, the thing that broke whatever hope I had that this was all in my head, came the night Alex called me into his room. He was standing by his dresser mirror, wide-eyed and trembling. The glass was fogged up like someone had breathed all over it, and in the mist was a message. Boys ain't no good. The handwriting was small, almost delicate, the same way I used to write when I was little before I started dotting my eyes with hearts and trying to copy my older sister's cursive. Mommy, that's not nice, Alex said. His voice was so hurt, like he thought I had done it. But I hadn't. She had. That's when I realized what she was. Not just a ghost, not just a memory, but a piece of me that never grew up. A shard of my own childhood, broken off and left behind, still clinging to the fears I'd outgrown. She hated boys, because I hated boys once upon a time. Before I ever knew love, before I knew hurt, before I understood that fear and trust are two sides of the same coin. Somehow she'd stayed behind in that theater. Maybe I left her there that night when I passed out on the floor. Maybe the fear I felt cracked me open just enough to let her crawl out. And she's been following me ever since. Even now I feel her, watching from doorways, peeking out from behind Emma's old dolls. Sometimes when I walk past windows at night, I catch her reflection instead of my own. I don't know if she wants to hurt me. I don't know if she's protecting me. I just know she's there and she isn't leaving. Because after all these years, I finally understand. She doesn't trust me either. I hope you believe me, Tony. Because if you don't, I'm afraid I won't believe myself either. Mia, when you hear a story like this, it's easy to dismiss it outright. A ghost story with a twist, a haunting that's personal, tied not to a place, but to a person's own childhood self. It sounds too poetic to be real. And yet when you sit with it for a moment, when you really think about what it means to be haunted by who you used to be, it starts to feel a little too familiar. Psychologists talk a lot about the inner child, that raw, unpolished version of yourself that never really goes away. For most of us, it hides quietly behind the grown-up masks we wear. But what happens when that inner child doesn't stay hidden? What if, instead of existing quietly inside us, they step outside and start to walk beside us? There's a theory called dissociation, where a person under extreme stress, trauma, or fear essentially splits off a piece of themselves. That fragment can feel like a separate person holding on to all the fear, pain, and beliefs the rest of us have worked hard to forget. It doesn't take a ghost to haunt you. Sometimes it just takes memory refusing to die. But then there's the other side, the side that wonders if there's more to it than psychology. Could that night at the theater, that unexplained blackout, the figures on stage, the voice calling her name, have opened a door? Maybe not to some haunted spirit, but to something far more personal, a haunting rooted not in the supernatural, but in time itself. What if there are moments in life where the past and present touch just briefly, and in those moments we see ourselves, not the versions we want to remember, but the parts we left behind, the parts that remember fear better than they remember love? And what if those pieces aren't content to stay silent? In the end, what haunts Mia most might not be the ghost in the blue dress. It might be the truth she's been running from. You can change your life, your name, your home, but you can't outrun the child you used to be. Because sometimes the scariest ghosts are the ones we see in the mirror. That wraps this story, but there's always another letter waiting in the dark.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.